Cause we're stuck in the basement. And we're never getting out. Cause we're stuck in the basement. And we're never getting out. Cause we're stuck, don't need no outs. When we go up, cause we came out of the mud, but we lay loud. Now we live on replay now. Cause we're stuck in the basement. And we're never getting out.
All right, Basement Full of Heretics, episode 24. But for some people, I'm guessing they're treating that episode 1. Moses, how you doing?
I don't see why anyone would treat this as episode 1. I think this episode is probably going to be exclusively listened to by past listeners. I don't know if we've really done much to grow audience base.
But what I mean by that is that some people... I was going to say some people forgot, but no. People.
Hey, man, like I said before, the streets will never forget. The streets will never forget Basement Full of Heretics. It was in many ways like a marker of a place and time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this podcast, let's be real, this podcast was very much...
a product of COVID.
Yeah, a product of the pandemic. Like, it was like that was the recipe. That's what you needed. You needed... several months of, you know, very limited external obligations.
And to be honest,
a lot of isolation.
To be honest, I'm kind of proud of ourselves, because the thing is, like, how many podcasts were started during the pandemic? And once the pandemic ended, I'm pretty sure there's lots of podcasts that ended. But the fact that, like, we never officially ended it, and, like, we just, like, it was fighting for his life, but it never officially ended.
Yeah.
And so the fact...
I guess we never had the courtesy of killing the podcast.
All I can say, I'm not even going to get into a lot of detail, but all I'm going to say is this hiatus has been very expensive. All I can say is...
in $9 increments. Yeah.
No, it's more than that. But yeah.
No, it is. $9.
No, it's $20, bro.
It's $20 a month?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I don't know. I've always heard the saying, it only adds up if you add it up, which I haven't done, so... As far as I'm concerned, hey man, I think there's also been a very heavy emotional toll, and so I'd say, who knows,
it's emotional hard to, toll.
It's, yeah, you know, it's hard to say who exactly has paid more for this.
Oh yeah, I guess
between
me
and you.
Honestly, yeah, you do a lot for the podcast.
Yeah, some might say everything. But I don't know who some are. Anyway, Basement Full of Heretics, episode 24.
But you answer the question. How are you doing, man?
Jeez, man, that's such an empty question. It doesn't even deserve to be dignified with a response.
How are you doing?
I'm getting there, man. I'm getting there. What do you want me to say? Good.
Yeah,
I'm having a nice day.
And just
I don't know, man. It's 11:21 p.m. on a Friday night, and I'm here in the guest bedroom of my parents' house recording a podcast with my 30-year-old brother. And I am also approaching my mid-20s. So, I don't know. You make that what you will. Maybe my life is going great. Some you know, it's really up for debate. Today was fine. But, yeah. How are you? Since that's such a pressing question. To be honest, I was trying to get out to... You know, no, we're going to answer this. We're gonna live in this for a minute.
What?
The question of how you are. Like, I was trying to get the official podcast business, but no, we gotta take care of this one.
No, I'm actually well, man. There's a
exciting.
Yeah, a lot of changes have occurred in my life since last we recorded, and I think a lot of changes have occurred in lots of people's lives, but
2 years will do that.
Yeah.
It's actually more like a year and a month. Yeah.
So yeah, I think a lot of changes have happened. I'm just in a different space, mentally, spiritually, financially. I listened back to, was it the last episode we made or one of the last ones? We're talking about my big plans for 2022, and then we're like, 2022 is the year of Emil has his millionaire ambitions. You remember?
Oh, surprise, surprise.
Remember that? Wow. Yeah.
Who saw that coming?
Never quite turned out, but actually 2022 was actually quite productive in many ways.
Yeah, our man clawed all the way back to zero.
Yeah.
the net worth column.
Yeah. And honestly, like, I feel like there were some good things, some challenging things. Learned a lot, grew a lot. And yeah, I think right now I'm in that season of life. I think just life is just constantly transition. So I'm just in a current transition towards just some different career options.
And that's the podcast, folks. See you next year. See you in 2024. It was nice checking in. That's, to be honest, that's kind of where I figured would be a good place to start. I know literally the last four episodes you started off with apologies for our hiatus and explaining it, but
actually we never apologized. Remember that was your whole thing. That was your thing. Like, you never apologized. We actually never actually.
Yeah, man. That must have been.
We never actually had an official apology because. Yeah. I tried, but then you're like, no, never.
Yeah, no, because once you apologize, you accept liability. It's like, I haven't even listened to the past episode, but I know for a fact I use the exact same example I'm going to use now. But it's like when you crash into someone even if you rear-ended them at 120 miles an hour in a school zone.
Yeah.
You ask if they're okay. Don't say sorry though. Don't. This is expert legal advice I'm giving you right here.
No, don't ask if they're okay. Say you look fine.
Yeah, because, just common courtesy. You can ask if they're okay, but just don't say exactly, you know, who created that scenario. And honestly, that was going to be my MO even with this episode. Because also at the same time, I also think apologies, I think even as a standalone concept are of limited value. But I think also like when you repeatedly apologize for something, mm-hmm. you know, it starts to lose its significance. And so mm-hmm. I think like even in the case of the podcast, I think the biggest thing we can do in terms of earning back the trust of our listeners, and I know that's something that needs to actually happen. Like, you know, this whole saying, trust is gained in drops, lost in buckets.
Yeah.
And you know, a 13-month hiatus for a weekly podcast definitely amounts to several buckets worth of trust. Some might say it's a deficit, but
to all those listening, thank you.
Yeah, no, to all those listening, thank you. You know, thank you for still having the notification alert on. But yeah, I think the biggest thing we can do is just to get back on with.
I wanna know, like, you know how you listen to podcasts. You know how like there's a podcast that you really like whenever they drop. Like, you get really excited. Like, you're like, oh man. Like, so sometimes you don't even like expect it. Like, you ever had those experiences? Like, you don't even like a podcast you don't expect to drop, and then one day you're just going through your feed, all of a sudden you see the drop, and it's like kind of exciting.
Yeah.
If anyone had that feeling when they saw this episode, let us know. Reach out to the Instagram page. Let us know.
Well, yeah, we gotta fire that thing up too.
Yeah. If we sell the password for that.
Yeah, man, yeah. A lot of unused inventory in the Basement Full of Heretics catalog. Yeah. Anyway. Oh man. I totally forgot about that. Like, I don't think I've logged in on Instagram for several months. I'm wondering like if we're gonna open it and see, you know, all the missed messages and feel bad about that we left people hanging, or see none and feel like a different kind of bad, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, like Emil said, if this podcast, you know, gives you any stirrings, makes you feel any type of way.
And share with other people. Share with other people.
Yeah.
We're not going to embarrass you by you sharing with other people and you're like, oh, check out this podcast. And then we don't make something for another 15 months. Like, no, we're actually
like I said, we can say that, but I think the best thing we can do is just to continue posting weekly, and that's obviously something, not obviously, I can't say obviously, but that's something that we intend to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, I don't want to get too inside baseball because nothing worse than listening to people podcast about podcasting, but I know even I guess this current iteration or this current reboot, whatever you want to call it, I know for me personally, it was kind of inspired by a conversation I had with one of our very loyal listeners in the past. I hope she's listening today.
You're gonna name drop them. Don't, man.
Why not?
Because they didn't give you their permission to put their name on the internet.
That's true. Okay. Anyway, you know who you are. Yeah, you know who you are. What you know, I'll message them after, see if they're okay with it. But yeah, just one of our listeners who I happened to run into them, chance encounter, and we just had, you know, they asked the question, where's the podcast? And I've had a few people ask me that over the years, and I usually just want to like crawl inside myself and like, you know, run away. Because, you know, it's something which even I wonder to myself where the podcast go. But they asked me that, and we had a conversation, and it was just like, it was an opportunity, I think, for me even just to, like, you know, bounce some of the ideas off and see, you know, what people enjoyed, what people didn't enjoy, and just get that really direct feedback, and, you know, realize that in our own small little way that we'd made something that, you know, some people actually liked to consume and, like, would do so on the regular, and even people who maybe weren't that into podcasting,
yeah,
made an exception for ours. And I think for me, one of the hangups in terms of the hiatus was, I know whenever I do things, you know, having that desire to, like, okay, I want to do it bigger and better. Like, I don't want to just keep doing the same podcast over and over again. I think for me, a lot of times that was like, something would stop me from just making it. And it applies in other areas of my life. But I think having that conversation kind of made me realize, well, you know what? You know, it's not wrong to continue to try to improve the thing that you're working on. But, in the meantime, you need to keep working on it. And so, yeah, we're back. We're here. Should I say it? Should I finish the rhyme? No.
What does it go?
I was like, we're here and we're queer. Where's that from? Is that from...
I don't know.
Like, you know, like, but queer, like, in the traditional sense. Like, you know, we're just happy to be around.
Like, did you say that?
Huh? What? Anyway, maybe that'll be the tagline for this season. Bishop Full of Heretics. We're here and we're queer. Anyway, see, this is naturally the point where you ask someone, okay, now how are you doing? But we've already gone through that.
That's
okay. So you gave people a very vague description. You said, you know, I've reached some financial goals and I'm going through a career transition.
Yeah.
Whatever that means. Like, did you join the mob? it's very unclear. And so, yeah, Mil, yeah, let people know what's new in your life. I have a sense of, you know, what's new in your life, the good and the bad.
Yeah.
I'm sure you maybe don't want to share all of it, but yeah, okay. Let people know what's up.
Yeah.
What are you cooking, man?
Yeah, yeah. I realized this actually might be a chance for me to do
grow your clientele. Some
marketing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So as some of you guys may know, I used to
Buff.
I used to make very, very vague references to my workplace. I know some people ask me like why do you talk
still work
like
there, right?
Technically. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I'm actually, so at this current moment, for the last like six or so years, I've been a high school teacher, and like it's been dope.
Crazy.
It's been good. And this year is actually like my last year, so I'm actually going into my last.
That should be the Instagram poll.
Right.
Of like what people thought your real job was. I think I'd said you were a teacher. I said it
point blank one time.
Yeah, yeah.
But that this is my last year, heading into my last month of it, and so
were you fired?
No, I'm transitioning to becoming a personal trainer, a fitness coach. So, yeah, if you are in the Edmonton area,
Central, dude, man, I didn't think you were actually gonna make a pitch. This is grimy, man.
No,
this is our first episode
I literally gave this whole thing
about earning people's trust, and now you're trying to get their 30 bucks an hour. That's disgusting.
Let me finish. If you're in the Edmonton area and you have some fitness questions, hit me up. Or if you're just interested in just. Follow me on Instagram, bro.
Where should they follow you on Instagram?
I have my account called Training with Emil. Okay. It's my training account.
Spell that out because I'm not putting it in the episode notes.
Training with Emil. Emil, E-M-I-L-E. But yeah, basically, what I mean by that is just like I'm becoming a personal trainer, fitness coach. So I'm going to see how that works out for a bit. Wish me the best. It's definitely a bit of a leap of faith, but I'm excited. I'm excited about that.
No, man. Yeah, and we got your back. Honestly, I think it's exciting. Like, I think it's, like, I don't know. Whenever I've like any friends or anything who talk about like, you know, trying to pursue some alternative career path, I think this is genuinely the time to do it. Like, even if it's kind of crazy, like do it before you have kids, before you have a mortgage, you know, before you have like a partner and all those kinds of like, long-term
commitments. Hopefully it's not the thing that stops me from ever getting into those things.
Yeah. That's definitely, a consideration. But I don't know, man. Having kids is easy.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But being a father.
Yeah. No. For real. You're about to turn 30.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was off limits, but for me, that's like that's just mind boggling.
Yeah, it's actually crazy. Like time flies by. My 20s.
No, but how do you feel about that? Yeah, man, you're really the prime of your life. It's gone.
It's not really. Yeah, okay. It's not 30, 30 yeah, in your 20, 40s yeah, in your 30. Yeah. No, I'm excited, man. It feels weird. It feels like I'm definitely an old man now.
Yeah.
Like I remember as a kid, we always just play soccer, and we always like look at like young players and stuff. And now if I was playing soccer, I'd be basically finished.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah,
you'd be looking at your last contract. That's if you're a really good player. If you're a really good player, people would say like, "Oh, he's gonna get his last contract.
Yeah,
his last big one."
No, like, but I'm excited. It's kind of weird. I was telling you today, it's kind of weird making that life transition and like
to career. Being old.
Yo, oh. No, that career transition. It's kind of weird because like in many ways, like it feels like I'm starting my adulthood again, kind of thing. Like obviously not.
Yeah.
But like obviously I've done stuff before, but it just feels weird. Like it feels like It feels like the very same feeling I had when I just graduated university, kind of.
Okay, you know, this is a fun question on the spot. Someone asked you today, what's like the biggest lesson you learned in your 20s?
You know? I think the biggest lesson I learned.
Biggest lesson you learned, or best advice you got? Give us, you know, just give drop some knowledge, man, for the kids listening. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, man, you're the elder statesman.
The best thing it's not really advice. Something I've learned more so through experience is the idea that like. What is it good? The best way to describe it, I was thinking about it, is leave choices to their makers. What I mean by that is like I just find that so much of the time we bear a lot of responsibility. We feel like we have a lot of responsibility for the choices people around us are making, especially people we love. And like, but I think just reminding us that ultimately people are just going to make choices, and just letting people make their choices. I remember someone told me that the problem with bearing that too much is like the success of other people. When you take too much credit for the success of other people, the reverse of that coin is true. Whenever like those same people are struggling, you're gonna take that really hard for yourself. And I find that I really struggle with that as a teacher, like taking the success of my students is like, oh man, you're doing a sick job. But the flip side is like, if a kid's struggling, then I'm like, oh man, I'm a terrible teacher. And I think that's true
could
in
be.
Anything.
Could
like,
be.
Yeah, no, yeah, it's true. But I think it's true in anything. Like ultimately, people are going to make choices. Just let people make choices and don't attach too much of your worth into the choice that other people are making.
Yeah. Yeah. To be honest, I didn't expect that. Like, I don't know if I had like a predicted answer in my head, but I think just knowing you.
The what?
I'm just saying, I think just knowing you, if someone had asked me to kind of predict what you were going to say, I definitely wouldn't have said that.
What do you think I was going to say?
I don't know. Like, I think for better or for worse, I don't think I'm very much the same way. Like, I think you're a pretty introspective person. And so I think I would have expected something more introspective, like more along the lines of like self-improvement or like, you know, some way for you to exist as a better individual, which I think is still good, and I think there's still a lot of valuable lessons you can learn in that realm. But I think, yeah, I didn't expect something as what's the opposite of introspection?
Extrospection.
Extrospection. Yeah. I don't think that's what it is. But yeah, that was actually kind of a little unexpected. I guess I don't know you that well. To be honest, folks, we don't really. Me and Emil don't even talk to each other. Like outside of the podcast, it's pretty much. Like we text each other with the soccer games, but that's about it. This is the extent of our relationship. All right, man. Well, let us know how it is on the other side when you get there.
It's yeah,
two months away.
Hey, man, you guys are free to keep up. I feel like
free
I,
to keep up.
I feel like I don't know. I was talking to a friend of mine who's also a teacher, and it's kind of interesting because I feel like now
colleague.
now that I'm not teaching anymore, I'm wondering like,
well, you're still
I,
teaching.
Yeah, but like now I'm not like working with like students and kids.
Yeah,
I was wondering like, man, does that mean on the podcast I'll just be more free and just saying like just whatever?
But
I'm
you can just disclose clients' information.
Yeah. You just start naming people like just start dropping names.
Yeah, no, man. Jennifer, you haven't been to the gym for 3 weeks, Jennifer. You're still paying me though. I haven't seen you though. I don't know. Yeah, it's a different thing. Training adults. Yeah, no, honestly, it should be cool. I assume you're going to be more out there and more visible once you live in the trainer life, you know, taking steady steps to becoming a micro-influencer. Are you going to be taking steady steps to becoming a micro-influencer?
Those people who have all AG1, who have all the AG1 sponsorships.
Nah, those are influencers. Micro-influencers are just the people who put hashtag AG1 in their posts. But they're not getting paid for it. They just do it in hopes.
They just bought AG1.
They just do it in hopes that Athletic Greens will see it.
They paid full price AG1.
Oh, 20,000 followers. Maybe we'll send you a free box. But yeah, that might be you.
20,000 is quite crazy, man. Like,
yeah, maybe.
I don't know.
It depends. It's all about engagement, though, remember? Huh? It's all about engagement.
Yeah, it's true. That's true.
Your 20,000 followers.
20,000 bots.
Yeah, seriously. They can all be Russian secret
service agents. You see those people with like 20,000 followers, but they're following 20,000 people.
Oh, man. I can't really talk when it comes to Instagram, but yeah, usually that breaks my heart.
That's crazy.
Honestly, okay, real talk. I just imagine, and maybe I'm just like a Luddite. That's the vocab word of the day, kids. Look that up. But like maybe I just don't understand tech. But like whenever I see the people with like several thousand people they're following, I was just imagine what does their feed look like?
Oh yeah.
Bro. Like what kind of
It must be
stress. Absolute madness.
Their feed look like? Their algorithm must be bonkers.
No, although I do get like the way the algorithm works is that like, even if you follow X number of accounts, it's really only ever going to show you like the same like 20, 30, 40
accounts.
The ones that you like. Yeah, like the ones that you interact with. Like there's people I follow who like I'll forget like for years that I follow this account that I don't see. I'm like, oh, I follow them. But like, I literally never
actually,
see their
they're
posts.
They're actually not showing you their stuff.
Yeah. Cause I guess the algorithm has determined that I'm not really that engaged with their stuff. And so I never really see it. Yeah, man. You probably keep that in mind if you're trying to make a living doing this kind of stuff. But, yeah. So I guess like that's probably, one safe. I also don't know if people really be scrolling their feed. Sometimes I see people do it, but I'm just more of like, I open Instagram, I check my messages.
Yeah. Here's the thing, man.
I get caught up in the explore page.
Instagram,
and then I close the app.
Instagram used to be a thing where you could do that, but
scroll the feed.
Yeah, and like because like you know how it used to be like ordered based on like time.
Yeah.
But now it's just chaos, man. Like
ads, a lot of ads.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And like stuff. Not
and
even
the ads
ordered.
Are so seamlessly integrated. You're like, why am I following this page? And then you realize it's an ad.
Yeah, but, yeah. And like stuff's not even in order. Like, yeah. like I saw this before.
Yeah, no. Sometimes I've seen posts from like months ago, like months ago. But it'll be like, oh, I guess you wanted you assumed I wanted to see this now. Yeah. How do we get here?
We were just talking about like I don't know about like micro influencing.
Oh yeah, you being a micro influencer. Yeah, yeah, man. So that, hopefully that'll be you just
grinding like
swimming
that.
In the abyss created by the algorithm. But you'll make it out. If anything, the podcast has your back. The podcast listeners.
Yeah, man. Thanks.
Yeah, yeah. We will be your social safety net because heaven knows. Heaven knows nothing else is.
Yeah, word.
Man, you're going out into the wilderness, man. I appreciate it, though. I respect it. I think, honestly, no. I actually, like, being 100% honest, I do respect it. Like, I think, I don't know. I think as someone who, for lack of a better term, like, has kind of played it pretty much by the book for most of my life. Mm-hmm. I get I'm still young, you know. I still got time to go through my own. Late 20s crisis.
Do you know what I find interesting?
What?
I know we're talking about like my life choices, but like I find interesting. Like I'm not gonna go into a lot of detail on this, but I find interesting.
Yeah, do.
No,
do,
but
do.
I find interesting how our parents reacted to that choice.
Ah, let's go.
No. Because like
take a seat, Emil. Take a seat in my office.
No. Because the thing is,
how
like,
did they react?
No, like I was shocked. I was shocked at how supportive they were. Because like,
well, I think it's because I don't know. If, yeah, I won't get to. I think it's because you're moving back to Edmonton.
Yeah,
miss you, man.
Yeah. But it's because like honestly, man,
you're saying I want to keep being a trainer in
home. No, because honestly, like if you ask our parents, like, oh, I'm leaving a teaching job where I got a degree for it to become a personal trainer. Like I swear, in their minds, like in their minds, you ask them, they don't think that's a real job. they actually don't think it's a real job. But like the thing is,
to be fair, it is like.
Yeah,
it is more of a mindset. Yeah. Like you have to wake up every day and recommit yourself to being a personal trainer. Like if you decide to not be a personal trainer that day, no one's calling you up to be like, "Hey, you got to shift." It's like, nah, man. You have to decide every day that you want to continue.
No, but like, I was actually very, I was very shocked at how they were very like supportive. I'm like, that's cool, man.
Yeah, yeah, nah, man. They miss you, man. You've been gone for a while. You've been like, you know, out of town for like
I remember I was listening to a podcast and those guys were talking about like they're black too, the Africans.
Crazy.
And they were talking about
is it bio-based on banter?
Yeah.
Okay, remember, man, we're talking to the family right now.
Yeah.
Like the people listening right now, this is the inner circle. Okay. They know about bio-based banter. Yeah, at least they've heard us talk about them before.
Yeah, but on bio-based banter, one of the guys was talking about how like his dad was like, oh, like look at this guy. Like he's making, like he's like, you were age mates and look at him like being so successful, like doing photography.
Were age mates?
No.
What are we now? Now you're his son. he's your father.
No, he's like, look at him now. He's so successful. Like he's doing all this stuff. And then he looked at his dad. He's like, don't pull that on me, because when we were like in uni or like 21, if I told you that dad, I'm leaving uni to go do photography, you would not have supported that.
Is that what this guy was doing?
But it's like don't do that on me, because if I'd done that, you certainly would have like told me not to do it. But now you're like, oh, this is your age mate. Look at him being so successful.
Well, yeah, but that's how it works. Yeah, like, dude, your parents got to be a special type of immigrant to not support your dreams even when they're successful. Like, that's another level. Like, it's one thing if you say, like, oh, I'm dropping out of med school to go do stand-up comedy. But, like, when you actually hit and you're winning Grammys and you have Netflix specials and they're still, like, why aren't you in med school? That's another level.
Unless you're doing that thing where they don't even quite understand what it is that you're doing.
Yeah, yeah. No, but even then, like, if they're seeing, like, the money rolling in, but they still don't support it, that's another level.
Do you think an immigrant parent would be like, oh, I'm quitting to become, to do an OnlyFans? And then,
that's different.
I don't know, and it pops off.
No. What?
No, like it pops off, and you're like,
what would you do?
Top 1% of creators. And
yeah,
like,
what kind of crazy stuff are you doing to be in the top 1%? Especially as a dude.
No, I'm not saying me, but
yeah, we're talking about you specifically.
Yeah, okay.
Yo, man, drop the app. It's $9 a month. Watch your step, man. Yeah. Anyway, so I guess that's something for the listeners to keep track of. If you ever need any personal training in the Edmonton area, make sure to hit up Emil.
Yeah.
I do think we should keep the advertising on the pod to a limit.
Oh, yeah. That's kind of why initially I was kind of like making a career transition. I don't think
it's like seedy. Like, I think it's fine if we talk about it.
Yeah.
But I just don't think
I promise.
But you know what? Maybe once in a while, you know, we'll just do ad breaks. Yeah.
This thing is being sponsored by Emil. It's actually more so this podcast is sponsoring me. But
I don't know, either or.
Yeah.
I'll admit you've bankrolled this operation. It's pretty, costs are pretty
big. Not really.
Yeah.
Because it's like the mics.
Yeah, the most expensive things were paid for by me. But I don't know. It's just a narrative. We're just trying to build a narrative. But yeah, I guess that's kind of where you're at in your life. I'm just trying to see where we're at. Dang. You know, usually we just mess around for like a good 15 minutes. We
50.
Cross 15. But I feel like we crossed the 30-minute threshold.
But it's always good, cuz like I will say, like, if you're still listening, these are our folks. These aren't the people who are looking, I don't think it's really messing around.
I think it is literally just telling people where we're at.
Yeah.
I guess in terms of my life updates, I think it's pretty similar to where I was at before. I think last time I did the podcast, I was in law school. Now we're doing the podcast, I'm still in law school.
Do you want to explain to people the logistic situation we've been in for the last couple of weeks? I think it's kind of cool.
Oh,
actually, you don't have to, if it's one of those things where it's like, you only talk about stuff once it's done, but.
No, bro, I'm not special forces. Like, I don't need to keep my whereabouts under wraps. Some
people just legit don't like talking about stuff until it's done.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah. You know, but maybe it takes a big L. To be honest, this whole thing almost took a big L this weekend. I guess to bring people up to speed, it's not that I'm going to Europe, which I don't, you know what, depends who you are. For some people, that's like a regular every year occurrence, you know, family Europe trip. Not for me. Yeah, it's been my first time going there, so that's exciting. I'm going to be there for a month, hitting a few countries. You know, now that I'm actually talking about it, I see why.
Yeah.
People stay. Like, I'm like, I'll be in Europe for a couple of months.
Yeah, tell people the exact cities you're going to be in and the exact dates.
On the western side, yeah, I may potentially do a podcast from there. Hoping to, actually. That would be fun. But, you'd ask something on top of that, right?
No, I was talking about the logistics situation we're going to be in. I think it's kind of cool. Like, doing a podcast while one person's on another continent.
Yeah.
I
mean, we haven't done that before. It might give us a different perspective, you know, kind of. Yeah, I think just from my point of view, like I mentioned that I'm still in school, it took a while, but it's finally starting to actually, like, wear on me, the fact that I'm still in school.
Mm. Yeah, but you're almost done, man.
Yeah, I know, but still. I'm not done yet. That's the crazy part. Like, I remember I was talking to a friend of mine who also, you know, has been in school for a minute. Like, I started school in 2016.
You actually started school right now.
2016, man. It's 2023. Like, what am I doing?
You know, that's actually crazy.
Still wearing a backpack. Crazy. Actually, doing homework. preparing for exams. Like, what is going on, man?
That's actually kind of wild when you think about it.
My brain is broken, actually. But, it's not like no flex or anything like that. Like, I think if it wasn't, like, I think when I tell people, like, oh, I'm still in school,
mm-hmm.
like when I say law school, it's like, oh, people are like, oh, you know, it's like a thing. But, like, man, you know what? I'm not going to go there because I think obviously people are different places in their lives. But I think, oh, man, I just can't wait to be done this. But yeah, I think building off of that, my whole logic was, you know, it's my last summer. Might as well try and make the most of it. Mm. You know, go to Europe, experience the world.
This is so crazy. You're talking about last summer, I was always going to jail afterwards.
kind of. Like honestly, like, for the rest of my life, when am I ever going to get, like, 4 months off again, you know?
You know,
unless I'm unemployed, which is going to be stressful.
Obviously, this is sort of projecting long into the future.
Yeah.
But I wonder, like once you're working as a lawyer,
man.
Does that change the nature of this podcast?
Nah, man. There's plenty of lawyers who do, like, public facing stuff.
Oh, okay.
Who do, like, obviously, yeah, you just don't discuss, you know, people's information, but you're not supposed to do that anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we don't.
Do that. Yeah, maybe we'll make it a law podcast. That's exciting.
Then I'll be off that podcast.
No, man. No, you got a lot to share. Well, yeah, that'll be our thing. Law and fitness, the intersection of law and fitness.
Law, fitness, and faith.
Yeah, law, fitness, and faith. Oh, man, that sounds so dry. Just even just talking about it. You know, I was thinking, you know, maybe this is an off mic conversation, but just in terms of, like, segments and stuff, you know, maybe we could have, like, a little fitness corner, you know?
Give people tips.
Yeah, you know, just tell people how to get swole, how to get jacked. Everyone's trying to get a snatch these days, bro. Like, you got the secret sauce.
Anabolic steroids.
Sure.
I'm kidding.
If that's it, I didn't know. You heard it here, folks. You heard it here first, folks. Breaking news. You trying to get snatched this summer? Stick some needles up your butt. It's anabolic steroids is the answer. Who knew? I think that's enough catching up. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got many more weekly episodes to fill people in on our lives and our happenings and our goings on, and just let them grow with us for us to learn about them. Mm. I guess this is way too late to be doing this, but just very basic administrative info. You know, expect episodes Sundays like they were in the past.
Yeah,
it's a great podcast day, Sunday evenings, on your feeds, in your ears. As always, feel free to follow us at Basement Full of Heretics on Instagram. Send your messages there. I'm going to fire up the account. Any unread messages, just know it was not intentional. It was a result of apathy, not animosity. Yeah, that's about it. Let's just keep listening.
Yep.
One thing we did want to do, we did it in the past. And it's actually something that came out of my conversation with our faithful listener, who I guess according to Emil should remain unnamed.
No, man.
But
I'm just saying they didn't give us permission to do that. But
I guess. I don't know. Bro, who even listens to this podcast? Like, what are the chances that your enemies, that your foes are listening to the podcast?
You don't know who these people's enemies are.
I guess. I don't know. I guess. You know what? Sure. Sure. Only because you insisted. But one thing that did come out of my conversation with them is that, you know, they mentioned that they liked our little dabbling with current events that we used to do back in the day. Mm-hmm. Which for me was actually like a really encouraging thing, because I know, like, in terms of a format, that was a bit of a change for us. Like, we used to just strictly do the Heretics Corner, where, you know, we just discuss a faith topic or just like a life slash faith intersection ish thing. And then
was
the whole episode.
Was current events the one time when we talked about the Papa John's thing and the N-word? Was that part of current events?
Yeah, a great podcast moment that everyone wants to revisit. Especially without context. Jeez, man. Like, could you not think of a different example?
Most people know that story.
Yeah, right? Yeah. That is. I think that was one of your favorite. I actually think you brought that up several times. Over several different episodes. You brought it back to the Papa John's owner saying the N-word. That is anything you want to add, Emil?
I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah. Barrel of laughs. Anyway. That is something we want to do going forward, like do more of, is to continue to do the current events. And you know, since it's our first episode back, you know, you got to build up that stamina. Mm. You can't just jump into these things. Like, this is preseason training, man. Mm. We're coming in a few pounds, you know, a few pounds overweight. We gotta play ourselves into shape. We are the Chris Paul. We are the Kyle Lowry. We are the Luka Doncic of podcasting. Mm. I'm sure Emil gets all those references. We are the Eden Hazard. Of podcasting. The Lionel Messi after the 2012 Olympics of podcasting. Or actually, even Lionel Messi right now.
No, he's good.
I don't know. he was good for 2 months in December, and which I appreciate. I'm very thankful for. Anyway, so we're not going to hop straight into, I think, what our typical current events section is going to be, just kind of where we react to you know, pressing but also interesting headlines that kind of intersect with what it is that we're about here in the Base of Full of Heretics. But I did want to do a fun little activity, a fun little game. Like I said, or actually, I didn't have to say anything. It's been 13 months since we last posted an episode, April 4th, 2022. Hate to say it, but I have to say it. And so obviously a lot of things have happened. A lot of current events have become past events.
Yeah.
And there's just a lot of great discussions. Like, it almost pains my heart to say, but so many great discussions that we missed out on. Mm-hmm. That, you know, people, you know, they were wandering the streets wondering, what do the heretics think about this? You know, what was our take on it? I'm giving us way too much credit there. But what I did want to do is kind of do like a quick little rapid fire exercise. Emil doesn't know about this. I kept him in the dark about it intentionally because I want to get, you know, your unfiltered raw thoughts. I'm going to hit you with 10. I picked 10 of the biggest headlines since the last time we podcasted. So it's not like specifically of 2022, 2023, but it's in that period between April 4th and today.
Yeah.
10 of the biggest headlines. I avoided some stuff that was just like, you know, kind of sad, like, you know, natural disasters, earthquakes, wars. Like, obviously we've seen a lot of wars break out, like shootings, all that kind of stuff. Like, I don't think we need to weigh in on everything.
Do you remember when we sort of waved in on,
no, don't even talk about it. No, don't. I know exactly what you're talking about. And I know we spent, I don't know if we did a whole episode, but we spent way too much time talking about something we had no business talking about. And so, no. Don't even talk about it, man. Shut up. Shut up.
No one called us out.
Shut up.
I think we handled it well.
Yeah. So some would say they should put us on the job. I'm not saying anything more than that. I avoided some topics, but here I've got 10 headlines, and so we're going to try to keep it pretty quick, rapid fire. I'm going to hit you with the headline, give, like, you know, one or two sentences of background, and then give me your thoughts. Give me your takes.
I'm like, who the bad guys were.
Who the bad guys were, what the solution was, how it made you feel, mm-hmm. what it says about society. Mm-hmm. You know, just think about it. Like we are, imagine we're like in the editorial room at The Atlantic. Mm-hmm. We're trying to think what's the think piece going to be about this? What's the angle? Mm-hmm. What's the take? And so, but you know, keep it snappy, keep it quick, keep it interesting, keep it fun, keep it fresh, keep it sexy. all of those things. So I got 10 headlines. Yeah. And you know, for your benefit, I'll give you 3 passes.
Like 3 though? 3. Safe pass?
So 3 that you come up, and it, maybe if you're not comfortable with it, or you just think it's boring, or it's not interesting, or you just want to get to the next one, you just say pass.
Okay.
But I'll give you 3. And we're gonna make our way through this. So we're gonna start off with a favorite, something I use all the time, ChatGPT.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we've seen AI take over. I don't know, actually. I actually don't know how many people use ChatGPT on the regular, like, apart from trying to plagiarize essays. I use it when I remember, and I'm always happy when I remember it. Like, I use it to make decisions. Like, if I need to find a recipe or something, or, like, build a trip itinerary, I'm actually used it for that for my upcoming trip.
That's
but ChatGPT, I think you give a very interesting perspective on this because you were and are still a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know teachers obviously have interacted with it very interestingly. Yeah. ChatGPT, when it came out, what were your thoughts on it? What about today? What are your thoughts on it today? Where is it going? Is it good? Is it bad? Is it, you know, the harbinger of the coming doom of society and the working man and woman? What is it, in your opinion?
I feel like ChatGPT is one of those things which would make your life a whole lot easier if you know how to use it well.
So like
a lot of people, I know a lot of teachers get scared. Oh, kids are going to plagiarize essays. I joke with a friend of mine. The problem with that is, like, for a kid to use ChatGPT well to plagiarize their essay, they have to be really self-aware, or they have to know a lot about the content. If they can't do either of those, they probably won't use it too well. So I'm not too worried about that. But I feel like ChatGPT is one of those things where I feel AI can make our lives a whole lot easier if we know how to use it well. I generally don't worry about it replacing us because, like, I saw someone do a thing where it's like ChatGPT designed a workout plan for them. And, like, oh, it's like, this will put trainers out of work.
Yeah.
In theory. But
which it can do, to be honest.
But in theory.
Yeah, it'll justify your existence.
But the problem is ChatGPT doesn't, oftentimes, the workout you get doesn't factor in for, like, movement limitations, mobility issues, adherence, what you like.
But, I mean, can't you ask it that? Can't you just say, like, hey, I have a bum knee?
That's what I'm saying. But, like, it's one of those things where it's, like, in order for you to ChatGPT to really replace you, the person using it has to have incredible content knowledge. And so I personally just look at ChatGPT as, like, or AI as a thing that's going to make our whole lives a whole lot easier. It's also going to get us in a lot of trouble because, like, people will legit commit crimes in your name using AI. But that's the one thing I'm worried about.
do you have a lot of enemies,
bro? People can literally
listening
frame
to
you.
This podcast.
People can literally frame
yeah,
you.
Yeah, no,
AI,
it's,
bro.
It's true. Like, I was actually just listening to a podcast today. I think it was Bill Simmons. He was talking to someone about AI, and he mentioned, like, because yeah, there's those softwares. There's ChatGPT is obviously not the only artificial.
They can create pictures.
Software.
They can create pictures of you
and
crazy
there's
stuff.
There's some. Honestly, we are actually putting ourselves right in the crosshairs of this. Because, like, for example, people who have a lot of recorded audio on the internet.
I saw that.
Some might say, you know, 24 hours worth of recorded audio on the internet. Like, there's programs which can then, from there, like, pretty much learn your voice.
And
then
someone calls your mom.
Yeah, someone calls your mom, says, like, hey, wire me $5,000. I'm in danger. This career transition isn't what I expected. And then pretty soon, you know, your mom's up 5K. And you're still transitioning. I love that. I love that phrase, career transition. Okay, so headline for Meals Headline, ChatGPT.
We're useful, but
people are too stupid to use it.
Yeah, only
I know how to use it. Okay, all right. Yeah. Next, we're going to hop to, this was kind of a dicey one. We're going to have to do a little, you know, it's going to take some dexterity. Ozempic.
Oh, the weight loss drug.
Well, some people would say it's a diabetes drug. Who knows what it is? But anyways, people who don't know, Ozempic, it's this, it was originally a diabetes drug, which exploded in popularity because I guess like a side effect, like a lot of drugs that it minimized people's cravings, I believe,
mm-hmm.
And then can lead to very rapid, honestly, I don't know, like I said, we're gonna be very careful about this, but it could lead to like very rapid weight loss. And so it's become very popular recently. There's been a lot of stories about it. I don't know. What's your interaction? What are your thoughts on it?
What's my interaction?
Honestly, you know what? We'll keep it even in the trainer lane. Because I think this is an interesting case of like something which brings about a physiological change, which I don't know if it without, I don't know, without, I guess,
okay,
I'm going to say the corresponding lifestyle change.
Yeah.
Yeah, like what are your thoughts on it there?
As a fitness person,
or just as a meal?
Yeah, sure.
Keep it short, snappy, sexy. Yeah.
Health and fitness is more than just what your body physically looks like at any point. And so I feel like using a drug like that, robs you of some of the non-physiological benefits of health and exercise. The thing I worry about is, like, obviously, like, I'm just trying to off the top think about the economics of this. If a whole bunch of people start using Ozempic for weight loss, what effect does that have on people who actually need it for diabetes? Does it make it harder to get?
You know the effect it has on them.
No, but it makes it harder to get, or does it make it cheaper? Because so many people are using it.
No, it doesn't make it cheaper because it's hard to make.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
it's like $1,800 a month, right?
I don't know how much it is. Like, I have seen things of, like, people who need it for diabetes struggling to get it. I don't know, but I get what you mean about you know what you were saying. Yeah, what did you say again about, like, the?
I think health and fitness is more than just physiological effects,
and your concerns about it are
just like what effect does it have on people who actually need it for diabetes?
Oh, okay. But you don't have any thoughts on the people, like, what impact is having on the people who are using it for weight loss?
Hey, man, I back to the lesson I learned in my 20s. Leave choices to their makers, man.
All right, wow. So the headline for a meal is, think of the diabetics. Honestly, surprisingly compassionate. did not expect that one. All right. Next one we're going to hop on to is the inflation crisis. Everything's very expensive. To be honest, I can't even tell if prices are still rising or if they're just, like, plateaued at a very high point of the coming down.
I don't know.
Remember, you have three passes, so I'm not saying you.
This one. I don't know if I have a unique perspective on this, but, like, a little bit insight into the way I live my life. So
I'm scared.
So I'm plant based. So basically, like, I don't eat meat and stuff.
He's better than you.
But what's interesting is, like, I meal prep all my meals, and, like, I'm very much like, yeah, I think you're like this too. Like, we're like, I'll very basically eat the same thing all the time for, like, long periods of time.
Yeah.
And so, like, it's crazy because when you do that, you actually see the inflation. You actually see, like, the crazy prices.
You're the control group.
Yeah, because week on week, you're noticing, like, week on week, prices are increasing every time you go to the grocery store.
Yeah.
And it's
the exact same item.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy because at some point, like, you actually just become numb to it. Because, like, for example, like, let's use figs as an example. Like, figs.
He knows me. Yeah. He knows me too well. Figs.
Because how much did a thing of figs used to cost back in the day? Like, $1?
Like $1.89.
Yeah, but now it's like $3 and you just get used to it.
Yeah,
like,
you do.
Like, you're just like, it's
what am I supposed to do? Not eat figs? Do I look like an animal?
I don't understand. Yeah. We're speaking from positions of, like, luxury. The idea that, like,
bro, that's a basic human necessity.
No. What I mean is there are people out here, dude. I read this article. There's a lady out there in the UK who basically, like, she wasn't eating certain meals. Like, she wasn't eating lunches, so her kid could pack lunch at school. I'm like, damn, that's crazy.
No, that's real.
And I'm like, yo, that's actually wild, but I don't know. People are struggling, man, but we're going to make it. We're going to be all right.
All right, man. I feel like you're already losing steam after the third one.
What do you mean?
I don't know. That's just, yeah.
No, we're going to make
it, bro. You know what? I'll be honest. That was a very big topic. It's hard to grasp, like, a specific take on that one. I'm just saying, not your best work. It's fine. Okay, next one we got is Elon Musk taking over, revamping, and potentially killing Twitter.
I don't use Twitter. Pass.
Pass. Wow. I actually thought that was one of the better ones.
I don't use Twitter. I got kicked off Twitter. I don't use Twitter.
I forgot. yeah, man. Jamil's saying some crazy stuff on there, man. You only use Truth Social now, right? That's your social media of choice? Truth Social? Why are you not denying it?
I don't know. I'll try to get an account. I'll see what's going on there.
Oh, jeez. No, it's okay, folks. Okay. We're going to move off that one. Next one we got is, it was initially just Roe v. Wade being overturned.
Oh, my days.
But I also threw in, I also realized since we last recorded, Ketanji Brown Jackson, she got confirmed. So she was on the Supreme Court. That was, like, a really great triumphant moment.
What has she
done? Then Roe v. Wade. Huh?
What has she done?
I don't know. She wrote judgments. Who keeps track of what Supreme Court justice is doing?
All she does is just dissenting opinions, basically.
Well, yeah, well, with the current makeup of the U.S. Honestly, I'm already losing interest in the U.S. I'm personally on, like, a very U.S. politics-free diet these days and enjoying it quite a bit. But I don't know. That was obviously a big headline, Roe v. Wade being overturned.
Yeah.
It seems like,
I don't know.
Honestly, no, real talk, eh? I'm not trying to get you canceled, but even like, from... Because obviously there's a very strong faith dimension to the whole abortion argument. Yeah. And I think, you know...
But like, I remember there's a podcast we listened to. I haven't listened in a minute. Holy Post. But like, they had an episode with this one guy, David French, who's like he's a Christian lawyer. He's a conservative guy.
Yeah.
But he made an interesting point, which I think is like, I think it's very much the stance I sort of take down towards this stuff. Because mm-hmm. his stance was regardless of your position as like a follower of Jesus, he was talking about like that Defense of Marriage Act, the one that like protected like same sex marriage. And he said yeah. regardless of your opinion on any particular issue, we live in a pluralistic society where people have different perspectives. And so like the idea that you're going to use the force of law to push forward your ideology in a society where not everyone even agrees on the same basic facts, I feel that's kind of crazy. But I don't know. I just feel like I get what you're saying with like the U.S. news exhaustion. I find the U.S. culture wars to be wildly interesting. So I actually,
Emil's up for this one.
Yeah. No.
Fired up.
Just whenever I hear anything about, like, the U.S. culture wars, the, like, abortion stuff.
Still, though?
Yes.
Like, that was cool. Like, they started talking about that the year I finished high school.
I just get excited to just see the crazy stuff people will say. Like, I just love hearing the crazy stuff people say about each other. Like, the fact that, like, 50% of Americans actually think the other 50% is evil is actually crazy.
Some would say they're right.
But
even going back to the whole abortion thing, I get what you're saying about, you know, it's one thing to have a belief and it's another thing to impose that belief on people with the force of law. But I mean, but there is a certain point where we all draw that line. Like, you know, yeah. Like, you know, like even with things like murder, theft, like, yeah, like abolition, like there's a lot of things where it's like, yes, it is a personal belief that I hold,
yeah.
but it is also one that I'm very comfortable having imposed on society at large. And so I guess like even with the question of abortion, because it's not clear. Some people, you know, genuinely do think in their heart of hearts that like this is murder.
When it comes to abortion, perhaps it's one of those things where like I very much adopted that. You know that thing people always say like as a guy.
Could've
like,
used your past, by the way, just saying. But
no, anyway, but like yeah. you know people do that whole thing of like as a guy like this is. You know people say like this is do not comment on women's bodies and stuff like that. Have you heard that?
Yes.
Yeah. I feel like in many ways I've actually like very kind of like embraced that. Like I don't
this
have
guy,
I,
this guy bobbing and weaving.
Yeah. No, I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but all I'm saying is
pretty boy Floyd over here.
Yeah. I feel like abortion and stuff like that could be something that I think we need a guest for. That'd be interesting to have like a woman.
Wow. So it's really no comment from you.
Yeah, I guess count this as a pass.
Jeez. It would have been a lot easier if you just said pass.
Yeah.
Now it's like a very shady pass.
Yeah. Because once I stepped in and started talking, I realized, no, this ain't going nowhere. So this is a pass.
All right, man. You can just say yes or no. So that's two passes down. So you only got one more
left.
Oh,
man. Okay. How many more things are
you shouldn't have wasted on Elon Musk and Twitter. You could have given me at least
I don't care, a tight
2 minutes.
All I know is Twitter is going downhill, but I don't care.
All right, cool. Okay, next one, to be honest, we'll see. Okay, the next topic is, I guess, I pulled these off of, like, a CBC Kids article of, like,
topic. CBC Kids?
But, yeah, I was surprised they had
it, too. Roe v. Wade was a CBC Kids.
Hey, man, they're starting them young. But, yeah, it was, like, a top news stories,
You actually typed for kids.
No, I just typed in top news stories of 2022, and there was a CBC Kids article.
For a second, I was like, man, you really think low of me? You
no,
said
dude,
for kids.
I think a little. It's a family friendly podcast. I'm thinking of all the kids in the car listening to this.
Yeah.
Anyway, the next topic is the Pope's tour of Canada.
Oh yeah,
remember that?
Truth and Reconciliation.
Truth and Reconciliation.
He actually came to Pinoca, which is like literally 30 minutes from where I live.
And where do you live, Emil?
You said it before, man. I live in Lacombe, bro.
Wow. And you teach the school in Lacombe?
Oh, yeah. I'm not going to say the school.
All right. Okay. It's a very short list of it. anyway, do you have any thoughts on that? Obviously, it's a pretty historic event.
Yeah.
Did he actually officially apologize to residential schools or just like?
Yeah. The apologize.
Like,
I'm sorry
for what you went through.
No, yeah, I think he apologized. He apologized in Italy
for the church
in Italy.
Involved.
He apologized.
Oh yeah,
again.
Yeah. He did. He did.
I have some indigenous friends who were very conflicted about it Because like on one end, like yes, it was good that like the head of the Catholic Church came and offered an apology. But the flip side was like, I know like this, some people don't know this. When he came to Panoka with Mascuchis, which is like near where I live, one of the indigenous elders gave him a headdress, and some people got really angry because they're like, the headdress is like, is symbolic for like a leader in our community, and it's like, bro, like why are you giving this guy this thing? Like this guy should not be honored as a leader in our community, even though because he's a leader of like this horrific organization which hurt us so much. And I heard that, and I know a lot of indigenous people, from what I understood, were like very like dissatisfied with some of the things that he did. But like a little bit of an extension to this, quite recently, was it like 2 weeks ago, the Catholic Church, the Pope Francis denies the doctrine of discovery. Which,
yeah, I think so.
Yeah, which I know a lot of indigenous people were like, if you're gonna come to Canada, you better denounce that. He didn't do it here, but mm-hmm. He did in the Vatican. So I don't know. Like, I feel like truth and reconciliation is one of those things where I think just like as any injustice, it's not something that can be like remedied overnight. I think it's definitely a step in the right direction, but it's one of those things where it's like any step you take to solve a large scale societal problem that is still going on will be met with applause for some, and other people will be like wholly disgusted by like how inefficient it is. So,
and where do you fall on that spectrum?
Probably somewhere in the middle.
You're actually so lame.
No, I'm nuanced, bro.
No, man, dude, we are in the take era. All about having a take. That's why people listen to the podcast.
I'm nuanced.
To hear hot takes. No, yeah, you can be nuanced, but give me a nuanced hot take.
I don't got a nuanced.
Like, you're either team Pope or team...
anti-Pope. I'm team indigenous reconciliation.
I'm team reasonableness.
I'm team indigenous reconciliation. But you made it into two arbitrary teams: team Pope and team anti-Pope. Like you can't just be only those two teams, bro.
Why not?
Because
you heard a war. It's a culture war. When's the last time you saw a war with a guy just standing in the middle? Like, I know. I'm nuanced.
reconciliation is not a culture war. You can't have a culture war out of reconciliation. It defeats the whole point of reconciliation.
All right. Yeah, sorry. all your riveting commentary. Sorry, we have to keep moving. all right. The other headline, this was another one. I was surprised. Yeah, we've been gone for a minute. But the death of Queen Elizabeth, that was in September of last year.
Yeah,
and
crazy.
You know what? I'm just going to roll in the coronation, too, on top of that. Obviously, a few weeks ago, at this point, we saw King Charles get coronated.
I don't know why it took so long. Why did it literally take 6 months?
It's a big event, man. You don't just throw that the next day. Like, you got to get things...
There was no king?
No, he was the king. He was like the king-elect, you know? It's like when the president wins the election, and like they're the president-elect.
Okay.
Until they get sworn in.
Did you watch the coronation?
No. What?
did you watch any clips from it?
Yeah, I saw clips like on Twitter.
Yeah.
Jeez. No.
I remember is.
Do you have any like final words for Liz?
I remember 2 days before she passed away, mm-hmm. I was talking to my students and I showed a picture of Queen Elizabeth. It was like the start of the semester. I was like, "Miss, this woman will never die."
Damn, man, killed
her. 2 days later, she died.
You killed her, man.
Yeah, I don't know. I want those things with people like. Okay, here's my thoughts. Here's my thoughts on Queen Elizabeth. First of all, generally, I don't feel bad when old people die. Like
okay. this is kind of hot takes we're talking about. Go ahead and die, old people.
Because for example, when a 96-year-old woman dies.
Okay, how old is old enough to die?
Yeah, like, I don't know. Like
80, come on, give us a number.
80-something? 70-something?
70, wow, it's getting lower. 70-something.
No. No, like,
so just when your life expectancy, now it's like you can die.
No, because like, for example, like dude, if like, think about it. Like if my friend told me, oh, my grandma was 96-year-old died, I'm not gonna feel bad about that.
Wow.
Why?
Jeez. It's one thing with the queen who has been directly involved in many human rights abuses.
Let me finish. First of all, like for me, there's no grief in that. It's just like whatever.
No grief. Yeah, not even just a little bit.
No, because
not like empathy. Even.
Bro, she was going to die. We knew that. And she lived a
long, full life.
And apparently, she died peacefully. Like if someone dies peacefully.
Okay, well now you're adding a lot of conditions. Before you just said old people die. I don't care.
You know, generally, if old people die, like old people, like old, like COVID. When COVID was killing 60-year-olds, that was not good. But like when old people,
COVID killed 80-year-olds. That was perfectly. perfectly acceptable. No, fine.
But then, what are you talking about? The flip side. I remember when all the people were like, "Oh man, screw the Queen Elizabeth," and like people were like, "Ah, she face of empire." I'm not gonna be for this person. Da 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 da.
Yeah.
But then the flip side, I was like, "Damn, can you imagine? Can you imagine being like those George and all those, and like the world's dunking on your grandma."
George. Oh, like yeah, your grandkids?
Yeah, like the world's dancing on your on your great grandma's grave. That sucks. Like that's just like, yo, that would actually be terrible. Like even if face of empire, but like
I doubt those kids are on Twitter like that.
But that's tough, man. To find out maybe to find out no, but like when your grandma or great grandpa dies, like the fact that like not okay, sure, like maybe I'm part of the problem, the fact that I'm not feeling sad, but the fact that people are actually dancing on your on their grave and like genuinely happy
people
about
can't
that.
See Emil's actually doing a little jig right now just to illustrate.
Standing in my room, dancing. But the fact that people are actually dancing on like basically dancing on the grave of your great grandma, that's actually cold.
And so you weren't.
No, I wasn't. I wasn't like dancing happy. Oh, she's dead. But like witch is dead. But I'm like, I'm like, whatever, man.
You weren't happy. You just didn't care because she's old.
Yes.
I'm trying to get the headline. Yeah. So Queen Elizabeth dies. You know, not dancing at her grave, but I also don't care. She's old.
Yeah. Like,
all right. Any thoughts on the coronation? He's not dead yet.
I didn't see it.
All right. Cool. Awesome. Apparently, a lot of stolen diamonds in there. Okay.
Yeah, I bet.
This one. Come on. This is your corner. World Cup happened.
Oh yeah.
You know, biggest sporting. We're big soccer fans.
That was actually probably the best World Cup I've ever seen.
Yeah.
In terms of actual quality. It was actually crazy.
And the final outcome.
Human rights legacy of that is kind of wild. But
that's another aspect of it. So I guess general top line. What were your takeaways? You've seen several World Cups at this point. At least four, I think.
Yeah.
You know, what were your thoughts on Qatar World Cup? Argentina winning, Messi becoming the GOAT.
Yeah.
Greatest of all time. This is for all the soccer fans out there. Emi Martinez, the Argentina goalkeeper, man myth legend.
Whenever I see that guy, I'm like, in my mind, like it doesn't matter which player's playing against. In my mind, he's like the best goalkeeper on the field. It doesn't matter who's playing against. But the thing is like. But like, okay, the World Cup thing, whatever. Like, okay, Argentina, good. Like, okay, like it was in terms of quality.
Well, just say it. I mean, who's the GOAT?
What, Messi? But like,
say it again.
No, whatever.
You know what? I don't even say it again. I'm working the levels right now.
Did
you say Ronaldo?
No.
Oh, you didn't say Ronaldo. No. He's not the GOAT.
I don't care anymore, right. Bro. No, but all like,
right. Okay. Very convenient. Very convenient time.
I genuinely don't care anymore.
Yeah, I wonder why.
No, but the thing is like. Oh, here's the thing. In terms of quality of play, it was really dope. Probably the best. I feel like most World Cups, I actually don't watch that many games. I don't even watch that many this time either. But like,
yeah, the hours are kind of weird.
Yeah, but from what I saw, the highlights packages it was kind of crazy. Like good games, but like
the best moments from the game, they were good.
Yeah, but the thing and like the goals were crazy. Like so many goals, but like. The thing we were talking about human rights, like this is a little bit of a
tangent. Yeah, Emil, did the benefit justify the cost?
I just remember I was thinking about like a little bit of a blast from the past in like the 1930s, like 1936, when the Olympics were held in Germany, like when Hitler was like in his rise to power, and like he basically hosted the Olympics in Berlin, and like they were like it's a way to like legitimize the Nazi regime.
Yeah,
and like the Americans went. Yeah, the Americans went, and like later on, the American like Olympic Committee felt really bad because they're like, oh my gosh, like we actually like legitimized this thing by like sending our athletes and participating and stuff like that, and like adding some credibility to like the Hitler Olympics, and like. Here's the thing, like I'm not gonna say I'm an expert in geopolitics of the Gulf, and I'm not gonna compare the just randomly compare like the Emir of Qatar to like Adolf Hitler, because I feel like there's a lot of things there that are like cultural, and we have to and like we understand that like this is a conservative Muslim country.
Damn, man. The next week you go to bat for the Emir.
No. I'm not going bat for me.
Okay.
All I'm saying is this. I genuinely wonder, and I kind of worry. I'm like, man, if in like 50 years from now, are we going to look back on like the world like endorsing this World Cup and like, oh, such a good vibe. Like we had such a good time. In the same way that people look back on like, man, like we kind of like legitimized the Nazi regime. Like we basically played into the hands of an authoritarian regime and like gave it legitimacy. and we were all there and had a blast and said, oh my gosh, we had so much fun. But like there was literal like slavery that was going on that made this tournament possible.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd hope people have the maybe have the hindsight to make that analysis in the future. Like I do think honestly, I don't know, this is the one topic I decided to weigh in on myself, but I think the sports watching aspect of the World Cup was definitely successful, because going into the World Cup, the only thing you heard was human rights abuses, homophobia, working conditions, treatment of women. Like that was all people said about Qatar. But yeah, now, like coming out of it,
but no one talks about Qatar anymore.
I know, but still, like anytime someone brings up the Qatar World Cup, especially among like soccer circles, that's not that. The headline now is, oh, what great play. That was the Messi World Cup, the Argentina World Cup, Emi Martinez. It becomes about the sport. It becomes about the spectacle. It becomes about like this great show that we all watched. And then like I think out of duty, a lot of people will like tack on the human rights thing to just say like we can't forget. But I think to be like, if we're just being honest, the sports washing aspect of it maybe wasn't 100% successful, but it did kind of.
But anyone, you know, but do what anyone it to any do. Anyone who watches soccer, it just comes to grips with the fact that soccer, like high level soccer, European soccer, it's just all becoming a vehicle of sports washing.
Yeah, but also, but at the same time, we were all complicit in it. Like at the end of the day, the reason it was the spectacle it was is because we all decided to watch. The players all decided to play. Like if there was like more of a unified effort, like at the end of the day, FIFA doesn't have, you know, a weapon at anyone's head saying you have to do this stuff. It's like we were all complicit in it. But yeah. It was nice to see Messi win. Sorry, I'm literally doing it myself. okay, remember we got one more pass. We got two topics, one pass left. Use it wisely or not at all. The next one we got is the banking collapse that almost was.
I'm gonna pass, man. To be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah. All I know is Silicon Valley Bank and something.
Yeah, I didn't expect you to really give.
Keep your money in shoebox.
All right, so which means this is the last one. You got to do it. I feel gross almost saying it, but Trump.
What about him?
I don't know. I remember
today.
It's just like literally today, on all the lists I saw, the biggest news stories, there was like five or six Trump things. I'm like, well, I guess people still care about him.
Today, I was driving with my mom coming back from somewhere, and she's like,
well, okay, I'll just be more specific. The classified documents, the whole indictment for, I think it was a sexual assault and rape.
Midterm elections,
running for president still. Any thoughts? Even throwing Joe Biden in there. I don't know.
I remember. I remember having this conversation with you when the Access Hollywood tape came out when Trump was running for president.
Yeah. 2016. Grab him by the whatever.
Yeah. And I remember you were like, if Donald Trump can still win this election, America is hopeless. It's interesting because like I feel like in many ways, like all that stuff that's going on with Trump with the different court cases just shows like it's kind of crazy. Like he actually is above the law. Truly is above the law, and he knows it, which is actually really, really scary. Like, the fact that he is well aware of the fact that like I don't play by the same rules. I don't play by the same rules that everyone else plays by. So I don't know, man. All I know is I fear that like he's going to win the next election. And it's going to be 2016 to 2020 all over again.
Knowing your track record with the Queen, hopefully that also the opposite happens is because you said that.
I don't wish him death, man.
No, I'm just saying. You said she was going to live forever and she died 2 days later. So, yeah. Jeez, man.
I don't know. This is just funny. Like our dad is very anti-American, and
no, man, he's a democratic socialist. Don't put that on.
I was chatting with him this evening. We're talking about like I was telling him. It's like, man, it's like Trump is probably going to just become the. It's like we all know who the Democratic and Republican nominees are going to be. Is Trump and Biden, and then I'm like, Ron DeSantis is probably just going to end up running as Trump's VP. And my dad's like,
dang, I never even thought about
my
that.
My dad's like, yes, wow. and they'll
yo.
And they'll destroy.
That actually be the unholy alliance. Hey? I never even thought about that.
They would absolutely batter the Democrats if that happened. But that's
actually kind of terrifying.
And then dad was like, he's like, yes, and it's like the Democrats are battered, but Biden will find a way to rob them, to steal this one too.
All right, man. I don't know if that was really the best story to share. So that is those are some of the biggest headlines that we missed.
Next time we do this, I want to flip it on you. I'm gonna bring some headlines, and I want to see your reaction. But first of all, I'm actually so glad that you didn't do like music stuff and like famous people stuff, because I'd just been
heaven forbid we talk about culture.
Yeah, I'd just been passing left, right, and
center. I had a few things like Renaissance coming out.
I don't know what that is. Oh yeah. Beyonce's album.
Okay. Well, I guess that's a little glimpse into what that would have looked like.
When you said Renaissance, I thought of like the Renaissance Fair. I'm like, I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
What else? I don't know. What are the big things happening?
I don't know. Like, I had some TV stuff like Ted Lasso, Succession.
I didn't watch that. I didn't watch
Snowfall. Love Snowfall.
I didn't watch that.
If anyone hasn't watched Snowfall, best show of all time.
I just can't watch TV, man.
Yeah, clearly. Okay. Well, anyway, that was just us weighing in on the headlines we missed. Like I said, I think going into future episodes, we are going to have a bit of a current event section at the start. I guess one last thing we did want to talk about. Podcast is actually running a bit longer than I would have thought. So anyone who's still here, shout out to you. But one last thing I did want to talk about is the Heretics part of the Basin Full of Heretics. Mm-hmm. Like we say all the time, this whole podcast started with just us wanting to have something to do with the pandemic, apparently, and also B, just to have a space where we could talk just candidly about faith topics and questions in our own lives. And yeah, I think obviously, you know, in the course of the episodes, we talk about a lot of other things that maybe aren't directly related to that. And a lot of it is just a casual conversation between the two of us and, you know, any guests we may have that particular episode. But I do think at the same time, you know, there's a reason why we've wanted to keep that faith angle in the pod. And I guess I thought it'd be good for us to at least talk about that a little bit. I know for me personally, I think still having the faith element of the podcast and not just making it completely a current events or lifestyle podcast, I know for me, almost creates like a sense of accountability. Like, it's a space where I think it's especially fraudulent if you're just talking about your faith and not actually taking it seriously. And I know even like I go through seasons of like, you know, really strong devotion times when I really fall off. And I think like for me, the podcast is like another way of reminding myself of like, okay, you know, the importance of having very much my own personal relationship with God.
Yeah.
You know, especially if I'm going to be talking about it. Honestly, also on the flip side of it, I'm just aware, like over the last year and a half, there's been times where, like, I've been out and about doing my own thing, and like maybe I'm about to do something or say something, and it literally thinks in my head, I am a Christian podcaster. The thought runs through my mind, and I'm not gonna, to be honest, it hasn't always been enough. Like I've definitely, you know, acted a fool.
How dare you? I listen to your podcast.
Yeah, no, but seriously, that thought has crossed my mind of like, I am a Christian podcaster.
You're my spiritual leader.
No, I'm a Christian who podcasts. Get it right. Okay. But yeah, so I think for me, there's like that dual aspect. I don't know is if there's anything you wanted to add to that, but
like the inclusion of the faith element.
Yeah, like why, if and why, like is it something that. Like maybe you think it's something we should just ditch entirely and one just the, go straight to the.
No, I one of the things that inspires me tremendously. There's a academic, like a professor, Cornel West, a lot of people may know.
That's our guy.
Yeah.
Brother West.
Yeah. One of the things I find very interesting about Cornel West is the way that he integrates his faith to his, like, he's very politically engaged, and, mm-hmm. like, he talks about politics, but it's clear in his conversation that his faith informs that. And that's one of the things which I think, for me, I aspire to. I don't think I always do it well. I think, like, sometimes I'm in seasons of my life where I make these very clear divides between, like, my faith and other elements of my life, mm-hmm. and, like, become, what is it, almost like a disembodied spirit, like, where it's just like,
wow, jeez,
yeah,
what an image.
But I feel like one of the benefits of the podcast, I think, is that it reminds us as well that, like, you can be a person of faith and still, like, you can integrate your faith with your regular life. You can engage with culture and be a person of faith. And, like, talking to you, like mad props, like, this actually, like, props to you, man. Like, one of the things I have been very inspired by you is in talking to you. I think as someone who grew up in a very like conservative Christian space, I think it was quite clear what it means to be what it meant to follow Jesus. But I think one of the things that I find interesting in you is I think you, in, like, being in close contact with you, it's clear that you're not a perfect person, but I think the fact that, like, you try to live your faith imperfectly, go through seasons like any one of us, but I think it's just a reminder that, like, following Jesus doesn't always look the same. It's not like, oh, the pastor who was like over the top all the time. Like, I feel like the understanding that, like, we can integrate our faith to our lives imperfectly, but as long as we try, I really appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah, man. That's what we're doing on this podcast. We're just trying. We're making an effort. And yeah, I'm not really. I was about to just segue into the closer there, but I do think it is important to maybe linger on this point a bit. I think even as we make this podcast, and even as we joke, and as we have these fun times, like, I think, the importance of having that faith angle, mm-hmm. is something which kind of grounds us. And I think, to be fair, it kind of prevents the podcast from just, like, descending into complete ridiculousness, which it really has the potential to do. Like, I think, no, I'm just 100% honest. Like, I think if this podcast was really just about me and you, hopping on the mic and just talking nonsense for, like, an hour, like, even I'd get bored of that. I'd get bored of making that. And so I think it really is like a foundation. As always, like, hopefully it can be something which helps people out.
And I think I think we had mentioned it before when we first started the podcast, but just a reminder that, like, I think it's obvious to anyone that, like, we are not like pastors per se.
Nah.
And
we,
like,
just get paid like them.
Yeah. And we are, like, people should not view us as, like, what's that word? Like a spiritual supplement. Like mm-hmm. people shouldn't really view us as that. But I think
we're not spiritual HGH.
But I think one of the cool things about the Heretics Corner, first of all, I think the topics of the Heretics Corner in many cases are actually inspired by you guys. Because, like, last
wow.
year. Yeah, so I feel like
that's true. Yeah,
yeah. If you got
listener questions.
Yeah, if you got stuff, you got topics that you want to talk about. If you have, like, guests that you'd like to see, and pay them to show up. I'm kidding. No. But, like, honestly, your input is really important, because, like, I think that's the whole vibe. It's a conversation. Like, it's not just you and us. Just you, not you and me talking. It's like us talking. Like, we're all heretics. Like, all the listeners and stuff. Wow. You're part of this, man. We should make merch. At some point.
Yeah, if you pay for it.
I'm down. I always tell people, like, oh, I'll make merch for you, but I'll charge you $200. because I have to make it.
What, by hand?
Yeah.
Man, you ever heard of outsourcing?
No.
Globalization?
No, but, dude, you know how hard it is to make a shirt?
Yeah, that's why you... Okay, anyway. all right. We are running pretty long, so I think we'll call it there. But it's good to be back.
And yeah, man.
We'll see you all next Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Take care, everyone. Much love.